CIA has a long history of helping to kill leaders around the world. Ever since the end of the Second World War and the emergence of the United States as a superpower, Washington has impudently indulged in state-sponsored terrorism around the world, imposing sanctions and wars on independent countries, and using its notorious spy network, the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, to plot coup d'etats and kill leaders around the world. Iran was the prime victim of American adventurism when in 1953, the CIA, along with Britain, staged the August 1953 coup to topple the elected government of Iranian Prime Minister Dr. Mohammad Mossadegh and restore the fugitive Pahlavi Shah to power. Stay with us for an article in this regard by journalist Ewan McGaskill, titled, "The CIA Has a Long History of Helping to Kill Leaders Around the World." Some of the most notorious of the CIA's operations to kill world leaders were those targeting the late Cuban president Fidel Castro. Attempts ranged from snipers to imaginative plots worthy of spy movie fantasies, such as the famous exploding cigars and a poison-lined scuba diving suit. But although the CIA attempts proved fruitless in the case of Fidel Castro, the U.S. intelligence agency has since 1945 succeeded in deposing or killing a string of world leaders elsewhere, directly, either directly or more often using sympathetic local military, locally hired criminals or pliant dissidents. According to North Korea's Ministry of State Security, the CIA has not abandoned its old ways. In a statement on Friday, it accused the Central Intelligence Agency and South Korea's intelligence service of being behind an alleged recent assassination attempt on North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un. The attempt, according to the North Korean ministry, involved the use of biochemical substances, including radioactive substances and nanopoisonous substance, and the advantage of this was it does not require access to the target, as their lethal results will appear after 6 to 12 months. The person directly responsible was allegedly a North Korean working for the foreign intelligence agencies. A CIA spokesman refused to comment on North Korea's allegations. But although such a claim cannot be dismissed as totally outlandish, given the long list of US involvement in coup d'etats and assassinations worldwide, the agency was forced to cut back on such killings after a US Senate investigation in the 1970s exposed the scale of its operations. Following that investigation, then US President Gerald Ford signed in 1976 an executive order stating, "No employee of the United States government shall engage in or conspire in political assassination." The executive order was partly out of embarrassment because CIA's role in assassinations was publicly exposed, but also an acceptance by the federal government that US-inspired coup d'etats and assassinations often turned out to be counterproductive. In spite of this, the United States never totally abandoned the strategy, simply changing the terminology from assassination to targeted killings, from aerial bombing of presidents to drone attacks on alleged terrorist leaders. Aerial bomb attempts on leaders included Libya's Muammar Gaddafi in 1986 and Serbia's Slobodan Milosevic in 1999. Earlier, well-documented episodes include Congo's first Prime Minister Patrice Lumumba, judged by the United States to be too close to Russia. In 1960, the CIA sent a scientist to kill Patrice Lumumba with a lethal virus, though this became unnecessary when he was removed from office in 1960 by other means. Other leaders targeted for assassination in the 1960s include the Dominican dictator Rafael Trujillo, President Sukarno of Indonesia, and President Ngo Dinh Diem of South Vietnam. In 1973, the Central Intelligence Agency helped organize the overthrow of Chilean President Salvador Allende, deemed to be too left-wing. Allende died on the day of the coup. The North Korean plot sounds crude, but intelligence agencies still resort to crude methods. The alleged North Korean plot recalls the assassination of the Russian dissident Alexander Litvinenko in 2006. A British inquest concluded that Litvinenko had been killed by the Russian intelligence agency using polonium hidden in a teapot. The United States has developed much more sophisticated methods than polonium in a teapot, especially in the fields of electronic and cyber warfare. A leaked document obtained by WikiLeaks and released earlier this year showed the CIA in October of 2014 looking at hacking into car control systems. That ability could potentially allow an agent to stage a car crash. Recent failed North Korean missile attempts, as well as major setbacks in Iran's peaceful nuclear program, have been blamed on direct or indirect planting of viruses in their computer systems. It is a long way from the crude, albeit imaginative and eventually doomed, methods employed against Fidel Castro. The United States admitted to 8 assassination attempts on Castro, though the Cuban put the figure much higher, with one estimate in the hundreds. Fidel Castro said, "If surviving assassinations were an Olympic event, I would win the gold medal." In his article, Ewan McGaskill may have left out many other instances of CIA mischief around the world, including the toppling of Iranian Prime Minister Dr. Mohammad Mossadegh in 1953. But there are many other instances of US state terrorism through its intelligence agency, such as complicity with the illegal Zionist entity in the murder of Palestinian leaders. Another case is the killing of Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme in 1986. Because of his defense of many issues of the Third World, including the chronic question of the Israeli-occupied land of Palestine, which the United States didn't like. Earlier, in the 1960s, on 6th of September 1966, South Africa's Prime Minister Hendrik Verwoerd was assassinated in Parliament just minutes before he was to announce a Canadian-style confederation, which all the ethnic groups, especially the black African majority, were in favour of, but which did not suit the major industrialists and the big Western powers, including the United States and Britain. The assassin was psychiatrist Solly Jacobson, who fled to London, and there, strangely, was no extradition request. The CIA's hand was also evident in the supposed plane crash in what is now Zambia in Africa in 1961, that killed the United Nations Secretary-General, Sweden's Dag Hammarskjöld, who was on his way to finalise a ceasefire agreement in Congo, which the United States and major European powers did not like. According to evidence, the aircraft was shot down, and no inquiry or investigation was ever carried out into the air crash. There is also copious evidence the CIA was behind the overthrow of the Australian government of Gough Whitlam in 1975. It is routinely ignored in Australia, but a little investigation into the background of Governor John Kerr, who unceremoniously dismissed him, reveals numerous CIA ties. Last but not least, when New Zealand officially became a nuclear-free zone in 1987, the possibility of assassination of Labour Party Prime Minister David Lang was considered by the CIA but ultimately not carried out because New Zealand is a member of the Five Eyes Anglo-War Intelligence Alliance, and the New Zealand peace movement and trade unions were so media savvy and ahead of the game that the United States had no means of silencing it. In an instance, the world's media were rushing to New Zealand. With amount of attention the country was getting, especially in the English-speaking world, there was no space for the United States to carry out a secret false flag assassination operation in New Zealand.